is a Vencast Studio production.
We are back. Hey, what's good?
Welcome, welcome. Today is 10:29, and we are just wrapping up the first week of the NBA season. I'm Hondo, here with Gee and MTG. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey.
Oh, man. I say I'm happy every week to be here, but I'm ecstatic to be here this week.
This week, because, you mean it.
It's just because of the pound of pistachios you've been eating.
The man
you're
is
this, like,
very...
You're on this new life right now.
I am.
You can eat anything else in the world, and you're I got this bag of pistachios.
I'm going to eat sea urchin later.
Oh.
Ooh.
Stack of pistachios. That's
stack of stack pistachios.
Of, it's like trying to find a Hondo in a stack of pistachios.
There it is.
There it is.
Fuck.
Hold on 1 second.
Excellent.
Give me a medal. Find me $25,000 for that.
And give you a participation ribbon for that one. All right. So should we just jump right into it? I think we should. So, all right. So we're going to jump right into this week in basketball.
Bow, bow, bow.
All right. So just a little bit of kind of league activity. There's no... I didn't see any additional updates from the CBA, so I'm going to kind of table this discussion for the immediate time being. I do want to talk about a pretty great story of Dwayne Wade being fined $25,000 for his throat slash gesture. What exactly happened here?
He closed out the game, and he was like...
I mean, he was just making factual statements with his hands.
Yes.
I mean, so the thing is that this is a legacy fine that goes back to, I don't even know, was it almost a decade ago when people were doing the throat slash gesture?
Oh, yeah.
And it was right after the incident with the melee.
The brawl, the mouse.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, anything that could even be perceived as violent in nature, they just started finding dudes for. So to me, this is less of, like, a trending towards the NFL, you know, no fun league right. type thing. And it's more of just, like... You know, it's just like almost, I think it's in the rules. And I was like, you make a throat slash gesture, this has a stated fine amount. So he just happened to do the thing you can't do.
You've hit the stated fine amount. This is like, it's like signing a football. You can't pull out a Sharpie from your sock anymore and go sign a football.
If he would have been creative and done like a hangman noose reference with his hand or something like that, he wouldn't have even been fined. He would have been cool. If he did like a needle injection into his arm and then fell on the ground, like it would have been cool, but he just wasn't original. And so I think the NBA is really progressive in that way and finding their players for not having original celebrations.
But then we're
drowned in this fucking three goggles and like everyone's cooking up some curry crap.
Right.
You know?
Everyone wants to cook
like
up curry.
Curry should be doing the curry thing, not Harden.
Right. Exactly. And Curry has the blessing of the base god, Oakland. Yeah. Like that makes way more sense than James Harden getting, beard hair stuck in your food, you know what I'm saying? Like that's inappropriate. Oh, yeah. Health safety violations.
Oh man.
Well, we didn't have any sort of celebrations to begin with in like the 80s and 85, like early 90s. We just had like Jordan and like Reggie Miller throat gestures.
Yeah. Well, I mean, original celebration was like Rick Barry wiping his forehead off with an armband.
Oh, yeah.
That was considered provocative back in the day.
For sure.
You know, just like set the presses ablaze.
Now we have like a pregame ritual where you have to watch the people handshaking each other, watch the people like fist bump and like jump into each other's chests and then do dances.
And while, as absurd as that is, still better than ESPN NBA Countdown.
It is.
Boom!
Fire
Mark Jackson. .com.
The 76ers announced that they're bringing back Seven Streeter. She was the artist that was supposed to perform the national anthem, but they had like an objection to the wardrobe that she was wearing, so completely like took her out and now have stated that she can come back due to like massive support for her from other people in the organization.
Interesting. I heard, and I don't remember the other game at the same night that was allowed, but she was wearing a We Matter side or shirt.
Yep.
There was a guitarist for a national anthem and some other game that was had a sticker on his guitar saying Black Lives Matter, and they were allowed to. So it's like this weird contradictory thing. But I'm glad that the 76ers just like accepted fault.
Yeah. And
they should let people have that form. Like, let them do that.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing, like, you're making all your money off of black athletes, right? And again, there's no unified stance on the NBA. There's no league-wide, dictate to anyone, expressing themselves how they will. So, if you ever hear about people being pulled or fined or anything like that, this is just old white men who own the teams who are afraid. Outside of that, there's no, this is not the NBA. This is like we're talking about Philadelphia as a local, ownership issue. And it's excellent that they reversed.
I did want to talk just a little bit about this. And this doesn't exactly equate to right. ball yet, but it looks like Seattle's going to get it's going to get the financing to build a stadium in SoTo. So I'm pretty excited about that because
to be excited for it. I'm wondering about the backlash and just the fact that we haven't had basketball here in Seattle for so long. Who's going to actually accept this,
But this city is built out of transplants. We're all transplants to this city, and I think there's a lot of support for basketball still here.
Oh yeah,
it's just hasn't been here. So it's really interesting though that it's all private money. Like they couldn't get any city money for the project.
That's good.
That's excellent.
No,
that's
I like that that happened, but I'm a little bit surprised that it did happen that way.
No, I mean, the city's flooding in new tech money, right? And so, put that money to use. And if you want, you want to bring a team here, you want to reap the benefits of having a team in Seattle, by being the owner, put up the money to build the stadium.
It's only a short time before your Cascadia division is upon us.
A boy can dream. Bring back Vancouver.
All right, so let's move into just a couple of highlights in player activity. I saw... It wasn't a huge week for injuries. I saw kind of some minor stuff. I saw that Boogie was hurt. Whiteside was hurt. Paul Pierce is still playing in the league, so somebody mentioned that he was potentially hurt,
too. So we're all injured because he's still in the league? Our eyes are injured?
Yep.
We're all in wheelchairs crying because we have to take a dump. That was the real reason why he left that game, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. Some sort of, had to pass a really hard... kidney stone.
Yeah.
All right. So, and let's talk about one other thing in terms of player activity. There was a notable contract issue this week with Dennis Schroeder with the Hawks. So he signed a 4-year, $70 million deal. To me, that sounds pretty steep for Dennis Schroeder, but we do live in a new era. What's your guys' take on this?
Yeah, personally, I think it's fair value. He runs their offense really well, but he's not Jeff Teague. And he's really young. He's learning his position. And Schroeder is he has a lot of assets around him. So it's a very fair trade or very fair value for his role, really.
Okay.
I mean, and that's your main point, right, is that this is less a reflection of Schroeder and what he's worth and more just the fact of you traded Jeff Teague. You don't have anyone else. You've been talking about Schroeder coming up and being your dude for years now, and he was, kind of the future of that position for you. Yeah. So now you have to invest in that, right? You've made your decision that Teague's not the dude. So I think, the contract's fine in the new landscape, and 2 years from now, if he's not panning out, as long as he doesn't tank, then he'll be, he'll be a good chip for them to move in some way. There'll be some young team looking for a point guard, and maybe they can flip him for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on to some lighter news. There's some pretty funny stuff, pretty interesting stuff in lighter news this week. I think we have to start off with the fact that KG has now accepted a special contributor role on TNT. I don't know. He's a great player. No one can doubt that. Is he a great commentator? It does even have potential to be a great commentator.
If it's 30 seconds or less, yeah, maybe. He's like, oh, hell yeah, check out this clip. Oh, all right, and then the clip.
Like over under on number of episodes before he smiles. like
three?
You can't put a dude on TV who just scowls at the camera all day.
Right.
Like, is he going to be angry at Shaq because he doesn't run hard enough to the big screen behind the desk? Like, is he going to be upset about, you missed rotation on the handoff from Ernie to Charles? where are we going?
They're just going to shoot up, just jump shots at the studio, and he's just going to be blocking them even after the cameras go off.
That would be pretty funny. I would watch that.
Charles Dunkin' Donuts into a coffee, just swatted away by KG.
Yeah. Get that weak shit out of here. No feelings on this, really, other than the fact that I think he rushed into this. I don't think he's really thought about this carefully, and does he have enough content? I don't even know what he's going to talk about. I'm excited to see what he's going to say, but at the same time, I'm like, don't ruin your personality, your legacy in the league.
People need to pull Tim Duncan's, man. Just like, what would TD do? Just hang out for a little bit. Yeah. You don't need, I mean, these guys are so competitive, it's so hard for them to, you know, A, jump out of the limelight, jump out of challenges, you know, jump out of, you know, just that aggressive mindset. But it's like, you got to reset, man. You got a whole life ahead of you. There's no need to be, you know, doing your TNT Halloween specials looking like a ghoul. Like, it's not necessary.
I remember hearing Kobe in this first offseason, like, waking up, going to the gym, not needing to go to a gym. Like, that has been habit for him since birth, you know? So it's finding something to do, because now you're really just sitting idle. So this is, I guess, one thing he can do.
I think Kobe's new pastime with the venture capital fund, I think, like, that to me makes a lot of sense, just in terms of the intensity that he approached the game with as well, and just like trying to find excellent investments, like trying to get out there and just like put in the time and put in the research. It's like, that to me feels like a better fit than what this is.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's not really fair to compare the two. I don't know that KG, you know, quite has the diversity of interests that Kobe has. But here's the other thing that's interesting about Kobe and his venture capital adventures and things like that, is he wants to be the most popular Laker of all time. And so the only way you can do that, though, is, you know, to surpass Magic Johnson in your business activities after his career, right? That's the benchmark. Right. That's the standard, right? Right. In terms of titles, in terms of, you know, all these different things. As time progresses and people, you know, don't really remember what it was like to watch Magic Johnson play, you know? Like, I remember a little bit from when I was a kid, but not a whole lot. And so now it's, if Kobe can, you know, sort of take over his post-career narrative and make it greater than Magic's, like, I think that's what's driving him. That's still what's fueling him, right? Is, like, how can I still be the best?
That's awesome.
When I'm off the court.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to dive into some more lighter news here. The Undertaker is a basketball fan. I did not even realize this, but I saw this. I guess he was at the opening night for Cavs versus Knicks.
Yeah.
Did any of you actually see footage of him?
Yeah. He was kind of in the back, like near the locker room entrance.
Okay.
For halftime. And I think it was because in tribute, LeBron wore an Undertaker shirt for Game 5. He's like, I'm on this new level, and I'm wearing an Undertaker shirt. Check it out. Apparently, Undertaker's from Cleveland or something stupid.
Oh, I think I remember that, because didn't another player have, like, Macho Man or something? They had a bunch of, like...
I really don't know the rest.
I thought Irving had a shirt like that, too.
Well, they were down 3-1.
Yeah.
So, and it was like, this was a turn for him, and he was like, let's get them, you know, Undertaker on. So that was, like, the reverse. Like, he's now paying it.
Yeah,
back.
Is,
I guess,
is Undertaker one dude, or is he like Santa Claus, where just like one Undertaker retires and they just bring like a new Undertaker in? I've been hearing that name since like,
I don't know.
Since we were kids, right?
Yeah, since like 1932.
I think,
like,
it's the one dude, but I don't know. It's like James Bond. You just swap.
That's what I'm saying.
Swap people in.
Interesting. That'd be crazy. I don't think that's true, but we had like Randy Savage, Jake the Snake, The Undertaker, you know what I mean? Hulk Hogan.
The rest of this is reserved for that wrestling podcast that I said I'd never produce. Uh-huh. So. Yeah. All right, continuing on. Hey, happy Dikembe Mutombo Day.
Dude, happy, happy Dikembe Mutombo
Day. Wow. I'm waving, like, one finger this at you. One you can't finger. See this, but.
I think, you know, I don't recall a ton of games from growing up watching Mutombo, but oh man, his commercial where he's spiking stuff in the grocery aisle, like, it's probably one of my favorite commercials of all time.
No kidding.
Yeah, just swatting stuff.
I mean, Dikembe goes a little bit, I mean, you know, you just forget that he was a part of that legendary era of centers in the league, right? Where David Robinson, Akeem, just all the legends in that 90s era. And Mutombo was just as feared, you know, Alonzo Mourning, all these dudes. Mutombo was, you know, so it's excellent. If anybody deserves his own day, Dikembe Mutombo, that's what's up.
Sure. So, hey, Guy, share this stat line. I think this one's from you about Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this fits in really with lighter news, but it was just kind of hysterical.
Okay.
That Kawhi Leonard in back-to-back possessions, you know, just ripped the ball out of Ben McLemore's. Ben McLemore? McLemore?
I mean,
can't stop us.
Oh, no.
We go into three going thrift shopping.
Oh, God.
Oh, it isn't. It isn't Ben McLemore. Sorry.
Take Kawhi Leonard ripped.
Keep us all in. Kawhi Leonard ripped the ball out of Ben McLemore in back-to-back possessions in the third quarter. They scored 3 field goals in that entire third quarter, and Kawhi Leonard had 4 steals.
So steals outnumbering field goals?
In just one quarter. Yeah, I found that so ridiculous.
Sharktopus strikes again. Yeah.
He's so Kawhi.
All right, so closing out lighter news, we have to talk about Westbrook. I thought it was hysterical, oh, yeah. Westbrook versus the Philly fan, but like the intensity of the Philly fan, like he just gets, he's probably what, 4 rows back, maybe 5 rows?
Yeah, not even.
He's just that. In his face, just his eyes double were like bloodshot. Bird, just double bird on him, you know, like
gangster style.
Well, I don't remember what jersey he was wearing too, but this dude was like 4 bills, man. This was, he was a big, big dude.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing too. Like, Westbrook's facial expressions were hilarious. Yes. But here's the thing. If you're actually as tough as you say you are, Russell Westbrook, how is that dude getting under your skin? How are you getting that dude tossed, right? Like, you're in Philly, and they're notorious for being, like, rabid fans. Yeah. Like, you should just accept that, right? Oh, rise of the challenge of playing without KD. Oh, you know, I just go out there and play, blah, blah, blah. Like, then why are you going to be so upset about a fan doing this to you? Like, just like...
Turns out that dude is a doctor.
He's a doctor?
But and his whole plea was that Russell Westbrook called him like some, you know, like white derogative.
Huh. Like, I don't believe that. That sounds like some shit a doctor would make up.
Yeah, just to like keep his job or something. You know?
Right, it's doctors. Like, doctors aren't creative, right? Like they're good with a scalpel or like, you know, they can read some medical test books and spit it back out at you. Right. But coming up with creative excuses for, you know, throwing double birds at Russell Westbrook, like not your wheelhouse.
Yeah. They're just used to writing chicken scratch.
Yeah, that.
That was such a crazy moment. That was definitely the week moment of the week, though, for sure.
I think it was.
I love that the NBA is back, though, man. You see the crazies come out too, man. But to the exact opposite point, and this is not lighter. This is like really sad and desperate times. There was like no one at the Golden State versus New Orleans Pelicans game.
Mm.
What?
It was empty.
Yeah.
It's the Golden State Warriors, and it's the dude who just scored 50 points.
There's not like it's. It's New Orleans and it's Louisiana, and there's actually not a state of the NBA. So if there was, which was funded by them too, they could bring in their own fans. But there is not. So, man, yeah, that's depressing.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's amazing that there's fans like the Doctor flicking off Russell Westbrook because they're so rabid and they're so animated and they love the NBA. But I just wish that was also in New Orleans. I just don't see it.
And that's the thing, right? You can't force a city to be a great NBA city. Right. And, you know, you gave New Orleans a second chance. You wanted to, give them a team. But at this point, if it's not going to happen with Anthony Davis, there happens to be like a little tiny city in the Pacific Northwest without a basketball team and great fans who would be rabid celebrating a hometown revival.
Oh, my God.
Bring him to Seattle.
Bring him.
And I know this isn't fresh, but like, his brow kind of looks like a mythical, you know, bird, you know, like a Seahawk type of thing.
Ooh, I like that. Can we get him to shave some Seahawk contours into his eyebrows?
We can't, but Richard Sherman can.
You damn right.
All right, so we're going to turn from lighter news to Did He Say That? Gee, you want to drop the first one on us?
Oh, sure. One of the biggest things Chicago has to face probably daily is if they can keep this up even. Is 3-point shooting and just deep range shooting. And, well, Dwayne Wade was like 3-for-3 or like 4-for-5 or something from their opening game. And Spoelstra was asked about it the next day in practice or something. And he goes, shoot, he looks like Dwayne Korver right now. I don't know. I think it's pretty awesome that he said that just because it's kind of fun and in jest. But,
yeah.
No, when NBA coaches show that they're human beings and have personality instead of being drones and robots like Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I didn't think Spoelstra would have it in him to be that human, though.
I didn't think so either. He's pretty robotic.
All right, so moving on in quotes. So this one comes from Embiid. He can't guard me, Embiid said on Steven Adams during that OKC 76ers game. Meanwhile, at the same time, the crowd is going, trust the process.
Trust the process.
And So is that chant gonna like live throughout the season? You think
they were already Definitely. Chanting MVP as well to Embiid.
Well, Embiid is calling himself the process. Yeah. So that chant is going to stay. Like all the references, you know, they're not gonna be able to get away from the ghost of Sam Hinkie. Yeah.
I just love it, man. It's so good.
So continuing to move on, and this is probably more in line with a prediction show, but Obama actually goes and makes some picks and kind of comments on the Warriors, and he says, I think they just have too much firepower, and he's picking them to win the actual title this year. He's also picking the Pats. I don't know.
I mean, it's
an easy pick.
I was gonna say he's very politically correct, right? If you pick the Warriors to win the title, and you know, like all of a sudden, you know, there's no way anybody's gonna fault him if it's perfect for ESPN after he's out of the presidency.
Oh, sure, for sure.
Actually, you know what? Sign Obama up for the next slot on TNT. Get KG out of here.
MTG, can you break down our last quote from Tyronn Lue?
Oh, man. So, yeah, here, we're just going to jump right into it. He had a chance to get tested this summer, and they said he had the body of a 19-year-old. Maybe he's getting younger. You know, Benjamin Button. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. They just said he had the body of bones and structure of a 19-year-old kid. Maybe he's going backwards. Man,
that's Tyronn Lue on LeBron James. What?
That is incredible. And anytime you throw a Benjamin Button reference at someone, I think that's hilarious. Yeah. So,
I mean, can you say in any more coded language that LeBron, you know, has a team of chemists working on him?
No.
I mean, can you really say that a man in his 30s has the bone structure of a 19-year-old kid and pretend that there's nothing else going on?
Isn't it Hernan de Soto who actually was trying to find the Fountain of Youth? But it's actually LeBron found it.
That's right. He's been making secret trips down to the Peruvian jungles. Right.
Yeah, or just a back lab at Nike or something.
Woo!
Who knows? Who knows? All right, so there's one last kind of larger quote here, and this is on Durant. Gee, you want to break down this last series for us?
Yeah, this is an ESPN article after just like a shoot around. In a Golden State Warriors practice. They say I ain't hungry. I'm out of here. They told me I ain't have no drive. I'm out here. They call me a coward. I'm putting in work. But nobody in this arena right now, and it continues, and that's when you get better. Nobody sees you when you're doing this stuff right here, but luckily y'all was in here watching. And it continues. Obviously, you hear everything. The season's over. The team is the worst in the league. You thought it was going to be easy. It's one game, I thought, after losing in the playoffs by 30 or beating someone by 30 in game one of the playoffs. And you say it's only one game. And he concluded, but it's one game of 82. And you bleep guys make me feel like it's the world's going to end.
So is this, I mean, this is a, I think this is a great quote. And just like, it's an attribution, you know, it's a very positive attribution to Durant to be in the gym that late and really just putting in the time. Is he starting to feel the media pressure here, or is he just like, he's just like, just real, just trying to release how ridiculous it is, like everything that's kind of put on him or put on his team at this point?
Well, it's hard to really say in just a few words, but he needs to watch his, like, his persona at all times. Like, he's being watched. He knows this. He's a celebrity, right?
Yeah.
And they need to be punctual. They need to be articulate. They need to be very careful with what they say as well. Derrick Rose is a nightly quotable for saying the wrong thing all the time. And so is Kevin Durant. He's never been great on the mic.
Well, here's the thing, right? And I think it's pretty clear, especially from that last sentence in the statement, is that he's clearly putting this on the media. He says, you make me feel like the world's going to end, right? Yeah. So you only say things like that, and you only are hyper aware of, you know, perception as reality if you don't have a firm foundation of reality, right? Like, if you don't have a firm foundation of who you are, of the guys around you, of, like, where you are in your career and in your life, that's when you start feeling like every little thing is the biggest thing, and, oh, there's all this media pressure. And I think he is feeling it. I think they're going to feel it all season.
All season.
But you never hear Steph Curry talking about this stuff at all, because he's so secure in where he's at, right? And KD, you know, arguably just as accomplished, just as great of a player, he doesn't have that.
Right.
And so I think, unfortunately, This is the result of that. And I think, you know, he's going to have to either find a way to find some stability in his life outside, or, you know, tune out some of the media, or, you know, whatever it needs to be. But he can't just sit here and be, you know, angsty all season.
Right.
Like, again, back to the Westbrook thing, right? Oh, you know, you're so tough and you just want to go to Golden State and you don't care what everybody thinks and you're making decisions for you. Cool. Like, act like it. Talk like it. Don't sit here like you know, whining about being in the gym. Like, yeah, be in the gym, dude. You're one of the best players in the world. Like, congratulations.
And the media is basically paying for their contracts anyways, so that's what's really crazy about this comment, but because you're, like, attacking who's paying you in a way, indirectly. I feel like this is going to be this weird layers of undertones with Durant, or cadence with Durant, where, you know, he's been, like, clean-sleeved, literally. He has no tattoos on his sleeve, but if you take his shirt off, it's, like, decked in tattoos. And just this past year, he's gotten a couple tattoos on his, like, he's just trying to, like, find himself and do some soul-searching, and he's like, I wanted to vacate OKC to find my new journey, my new path, and he goes to Golden State. Maybe to chase a championship, I don't care.
Yeah.
But he's, like, trying to find himself, which I think is really commendable. It's just, like, you know, you don't just backlash and be a celebrity, be this, like, person that people idolize, and then you say things like this.
Sure.
It's true. I mean, it's always a double-edged sword with the media, right? Like, you know, they do blow things out of proportion, and it's its own monster and things like that, but you even more about, like, what's the correct way to respond to the media is just, like, what does the media want? Right. The media wants you to say shit like this so they can keep writing on this. So if you wanted to be smart about this, you wouldn't be saying it anyways. It's in your own best interest to say things in a more creative, smarter way versus giving backlash against the media in a way that fuels them. Right. If you want to backlash against the media, there's much smarter ways to do it.
Yeah, right. I'm just worried about the backlash so early because I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
this could
it's just don't let it get in your head. You're a great, great player. Just you have to tune it out somehow and figure out the way to do that. Hey, let's kind of table the rest of this conversation for another episode, because I think we could talk about Durant and that situation for days and days and days. But I want to get into some really great coverage and get into the three-man weave for the week. All right, we'll be right back.
Whoop.
Boom, boom, boom. We're back with gameplay for this week. This is
gameplay.
So much good stuff.
Hey, this is gameplay. Well, we don't play games.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I don't even know. I don't even know how to build off that. That kind of lost me. But Tuesday started off with a bang. Three games played that night. I did not have a great, like, pick 'em rating on the first night.
You did not.
I did not. You did not. So let's talk about a few of those games. One, Golden State San Antonio. Man, it opened up. It opened up, and it was a bashing by the Spurs. Completely out of left field for me.
Right.
Any other kind of thoughts? And
my hot take was, I think Kerr was, like, blatantly throwing that game, putting some random strange lineups out there because he wanted the team to lose to get the pressure off. That's my hot take.
Pulling a Popovich on Popovich?
Pop on pop. Yeah.
Poponpop.com? Don't go there.
But honestly, dude, I've never seen someone with, like, a very raw game coming into the league from San Diego, and that's Kawhi Leonard, becoming this, like, next generation superstar. Given the keys, and he's just like, here's my game now. It's basically like Kobe light.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I've never seen that.
You know,
He came into the league as a defensive specialist, and now he's like 30 points a game.
What do they call San Antonio? They call it the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so, like, all of a sudden you stick somebody like Kawhi, who's the sponge, is going to learn, has all the athletic tools, and you know, this doesn't work with every player, right? All these, some other players might be more talented or have, you know, a better starting point. Yeah, but Kawhi is so smart, and he's just, like, so willing to learn that this is what happens when you get the right system with the right guy.
Right.
And unfortunately, not all the other NBA teams can see the value in that or even have the ability to put together an organization that's good enough to produce things like a Kawhi.
Yeah, it's just a testament to the Spurs organization.
I'll tell you one of the other interesting features, and this kind of hit the blogosphere, hit everything, that Jonathan Simmons?
Yeah.
He had 20 points off the bench kind of first night, and he's transcended from nothing to be there.
I know, right.
Absolutely incredible. I'm excited just to see what happens with him this season if he continues to grow, and in that organization with that coaching that he has, he could really.
Well, he just has an amazing story. He kind of basically started from the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And he threw in like 100.
He paid like $150 to try out and like some stupid jersey that he had to buy. But yeah, he's like transcended over the last, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. And I just love that kind of storyline in the NBA. It's the biggest, like, feels, right? Right in the field.
It's the anti NFL.
I mean, I got some feelings on Golden State that we'll touch on in the three-man weave, but I feel like Golden State, Curry looked real good in his spurts that he came in, right? He came in and would hit those threes, keep him in the game, doing Curry things. KD didn't look exactly like you would hope KD would look on game one. In terms of, you know, he would hit some shots, but in terms of defensive rotations, in terms of, you know, his presence on the floor could be impacted in the same way that he probably would on any team, right? You sit KD on a random team, he's going to go in there and get 30, right? Yeah. That's what KD does. But in terms of the flow, in terms of the rhythm, you saw glimpses of it, but against a team like San Antonio, those glimpses aren't going to be enough, right? You need full peak KD in stride with the other guys running, and that's where I think the difference was when you watched somebody like Curry or Klay play in that game versus when you watched KD play. Like, yeah, we got all the KD things that you would expect on any generic KD night, but I think it was really evident that transition was just really apparent against the San Antonio team, and they exploited it.
Yeah, dude, right on. I actually thought KD played exceptionally well. He played better on defense than I actually have seen him in his OKC years.
Sure.
Because he has more energy to potentially, like, you know, use in terms of his capacity per game.
Okay.
To spend or expel on defense. I found Klay Thompson to be kind of mostly irrelevant all game, even though he probably had like 15, 20 points.
But isn't that what Klay does? Like, Klay is, you know, when Klay has the big impact, like he does, you know, his whatever, how many 37-point quarter, pops off for 20 and a quarter, these things like that, it's very sporadic that you see Klay as the dominant force in a game, right? That's usually Steph. True. That's usually Draymond with the hustle on D and things like
that's true.
So I guess, you know, I think we watched the same thing and we saw the same thing. Like, just the conclusions came a little bit different, right? Like, for me, I expect Klay to be a little bit of a quiet all-star, right? And I expect KD, when he comes in, to do all the flashy KD things, hit the jumpers, you know, move around, look long and agile. Yeah. But what I needed from KD, I think, is only going to come in the rest of the season.
I just love the first play out of the book, right? Right away after the jump, was a 3-point shot from Kevin Durant. Like, they just wanted to set the tempo. Here he is. He's now on our team. Bam.
Yeah.
Get ready.
All for naught. San Antonio.
So,
laying the hammer down.
Okay, so we're going to jump into to Cleveland versus New York. LeBron and the Cavs are just showing what they're made of again. They were just amped up getting their banner raised, and oh my God. And we'll get into that in just a minute. Betting against fucking Dame Dolla is
stupid.
Don't do it. Portland takes Utah.
I learned a lesson.
Yeah, just absolute lessons learned. Indy over Dallas and OT. This is an interesting game. I'm going to continue to kind of watch this. Miles Turner. Yeah, he definitely had a showing.
Oh yeah. Career night.
OKC versus Philly, the best is the process chant in this.
Yeah.
But this is a lot closer game than I was expecting.
Oh yeah.
Denver, New Orleans. I'm not really paying that much attention to Denver, but New Orleans with Anthony Davis just goes off. He goes off for 50, like a monster game. I'm like, I was talking to MTG on Slack, and I'm like, oh my God, is he gonna pull a quintuple double?
Forgot about
5x5.
Yeah, 5x5. Chicago Boston was great. I thought it was going to end up in a complete fist fight. Uh-huh. So there's just too many Marquette players on the court, man. So the Clippers in Portland, that feels like playoff intensity, like game one there. Or I think that was the second game, but that absolutely incredible. Spurs and Sacramento, like, there's no changes. You knew Spurs were going to win this thing.
Well, there was a new arena, but the same result.
Yeah, but whatever. They could play outdoors. And, like, you know, unbelievable.
Rage.
Houston-Dallas. This was a really hard one to pick, and it broke the other way for me. I was going Dallas, but this is like, what is Houston... What are they doing? Like, how it's so damn hard to predict, and I'll get into how it impacted my predictions pretty soon here. And OKC in Phoenix, Westbrook starts really emphasizing his campaign for MVP.
Yeah.
He's Anthony Davis has to come down from stratospheric heights, but pending he does, Westbrook is running that charge. So, all right, thoughts on the games through Friday.
Yeah, I'll start off with the Cleveland Knicks game. I always put aside Cleveland and LeBron thoughts throughout the entire season.
Thank you. Why waste the brain space?
I don't care, right? But he's making me kind of care about this team in a weird way, in a sense that, like, I don't want to ever root for them.
Care like you kind of care for like a 30 for 30 episode or what?
Interesting.
You're catching LeBron vapors is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. The puff puff the puff puff pass. It smells like blueberry. and yoo-hoo. I don't know what that means. But,
no one does. That's why we love it.
And Beats by Dre. It smells like Beats by Dre. So all I want to say, though, is that LeBron kind of just was like showcased in that game. Like, he had no opposition. Carmelo was like, I'm a turnstile. Like, you can just turn up. You can just go through me and dunk whenever you want.
New nickname, New York Subway.
New York
Turnstile.
Subway. Turnstile.
I thought really quick, I said Miles Pond Styles because, like, you know, Miles Turner is legit, and they found a gem in Miles Turner in Indiana.
I think they found a gem, but in Indiana, like, is confusing to me. They lost
to Brooklyn.
Yeah, they lost to Brooklyn in their first game. Unbelievable. Like, what?
Second game.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
You can't keep them all straight, but the boy, that, like, how are you supposed to predict that? As a betting man, come on. Show me some consistency, Indy. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing, right? You know, at the end of the day, you know, we'll just be a special report out later on this month on our predictions that we made before the season. But in that, I kept preaching that consistency and coaching were going to be the standards of the season. In Indiana, brand new coach, brand new players trying to fit together. And while they have huge potential, and I think they'll be one of the top teams in the East, this is literally textbook.
The growing pains.
That's it. So, you're going to see them play to the level of competition. You're going to see them play great against the Dallas, and you're going to see them play really poorly against the New Orleans, against New Jersey. You know, they're just not going to have it night in, night out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, New York, Cleveland, not a lot going on there. I mean, New York's going to, you know, maybe improve a little bit off of what you saw there, but they're not ready to compete. You know, I just got to say, Portland right here, I mean, there's so, you have so little faith around me at this table right here, but just understand that Dame isn't playing games.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm not ready to fully believe that he's going to take the MVP reign. I didn't realize he had gone off in that, so just don't bet against the man.
Steve Kerr actually said, you know, if I had to bet who's going to be MVP, it's going to be Damian Lillard.
I mean, look, the backcourt, Damian and McCollum back there, like, I mean, only backcourt better than that is Steph and Clay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see anybody else that's competing with them. So night in, night out, when you have a backcourt like that, you're going to be in games. And when you play, again, a team like a Utah, which is trying to integrate a couple new pieces, has an injured Gordon Hayward, they are the young up-and-comers. But Portland has been young and up-and-comers. Now they're established. Now they're solidified their team. I just love to see that in game one. And plus, you just don't bet against Portland at home.
No.
Those fans out there, you know what I'm saying? Whatever they're on, they're killing it.
At the moment.
Yeah, I think you can bet against them at home, but you cannot bet against them on fucking opening night, man. Okay. You cannot. They've won 15 straight. Like, 15 straight years they won their opening night game.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely incredible.
And you just chose to ignore that as the world-class gambler that you are.
I ignored it. I ignored it, and I was wrong. And my results speak to that non-adherence.
We'll get into that. OKC Philly, much more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
Such a fun
I actually tuned into that game, and I couldn't believe it. You know, it had the trash ESPN trio commentating, and that, you know, I had to put it on mute, but... Yeah. Besides that,
the ending,
I mean,
was so fun to watch, like,
super fun. The only thing is, like, you know, for all the excellence that you saw out of the process in game one, you know, I think he had like 7 rebounds at either halftime or third quarter, something like that, and he finished with 7 rebounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, we love the dream shakes, we love the threes, we love the offensive fireworks.
More boards,
yo,
please.
My guy. Can you grab a board? Can you grab one?
Well, it starts with one.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, can we get double digit rebounds from you? Like, you know. I don't know. Whatever. Super encouraging what you saw there.
Well, in 22 minutes, he got 20 points.
Boom. Filling up
super
the stat sheet.
Efficient.
Filling up
and
the
he
points.
Can shoot a three. Like, you saw, like, today, I don't know if you, on my route here, I just checked on, like, Streamable or something, and there was the first play, Joel Embiid shot and hit a three.
What?
And this guy is, like, 7-4, you know?
But let the results for today's 76er outcome, we'll talk about it next week.
Oh, sure.
It was, yeah. not the finest.
Not the finest hour.
Not the finest hour for them. Actually, probably the lowest scoring game of the season so far.
Probably. Brow almost scored as many points as Emory. All
right. Now we'll get into it. Other games, other thoughts.
Yeah, Chicago Boston. You know, being from Chicago, diehard Bulls fan. I was a little bit skeptical, still am very skeptical about what this team is going to do. But you know, they all their weaknesses that people pointed to, all the things that they weren't going to be able to do, they were able to do it. And against a Boston team that again has that consistency and that solidity over time. So to me, that is a green shoot. It's a good thing to see. The only thing is. Game one. I mean, like I said,
you know, keep it up.
Like I said on Twitter, Game Wade going to be injured by game five. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that dude even going to be able to do all these things, flying on the ground and, you know, getting in fights with people? I don't know. Butler's going to do Butler things. Rondo, man, he's just going to dribble until you're hypnotized.
It feels like an old ball rivalry between those two teams.
Yeah, I feel it too.
I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy all of, like, the gameplay from Chicago. Like, watching fucking Rondo just, like, stand.
Man, I know.
Stand like, beyond
you know,
the three.
Hondo and I were out there watching the game, and, you know, we literally watched Rondo dribble up the court on a fast break and turn a 3-on-2 fast break into a half-court set. And, like, he didn't pass the ball until 13 on the clock. Like, it's important to watch, and as a Chicago fan, like it's tough even for me. Right. But you know, glad they got the win. You know, week one, we'll see.
MCW
we'll see
looks goes. Okay.
You know what? He was serviceable. He came in, and in fact, I would rather see him. You know, he's as poor a shooter as he is, he's still more dynamic than Rondo.
Right.
Rondo's excellent passer and like floor general. If you don't care about movement or anyone doing anything. Like, so I would rather see MCW in there getting his reps in with these other guys and let Wade and Butler do the heavy lifting. Let MCW kind of find his wings and bring Rondo in when you need, some scowling. Like, that's it.
Classic scowler.
You know, when you need somebody to fight Benny the Bull, bring Rondo in. That's it. I guess they have Robin Lopez for that now. But
you know,
that's true.
Talking about rivalries, that Clippers Portland game though, like I love the intensity of that.
Yeah. That was the most intense game I've seen this season so far.
I mean, they've got the history now. The thing that's interesting, I think, is if you think LAC is going to be, you know, a rival at the top of the conference and things like that, and Portland's got their number, scrappy, young, you know, Portland, who's definitely going to be in the playoffs, but, you know, they've got LAC's number and they're already, you know, pushing the buttons. You saw LAC in peak wine mode, you know, during that game.
I know.
you know, it feels a little early for that sort of grind, but, you know, even though LAC came out with the victory, as you would expect them at full strength to do, you know, interesting subplots.
Yeah. One other note really quick about Chicago is that you predicted that Taj Gibson would start, and I thought he would just be bottom of the, you know, the end of the bench, riding the pine with us.
Yeah.
But he started, and it was pretty...
Taj's been putting in that work.
But I wanted to say, speaking of bench players, that Maurice Spates actually had a pretty nice debut, and I said that was going to be a big X factor for that team.
You did.
And so I'm just like, I'm kind of riding with the Clippers this season, and I really hate that I have to do that. But, it's going against everything I am about.
Yeah. I mean, you got seats right next to Steve Ballmer, you know what I'm saying? He's sitting courtside, and you're on the bench right next to him.
I got that.
Riding the pine with Steve.
I got that balm sweat.
That's the grossest thing I've heard all week.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Hey, so, even though it didn't kind of make our list on this, Cleveland played Toronto already last night. So, it was pretty close.
It was like a 94-91. Yeah.
I mean...
Good game. I'm sorry I didn't put it out there, but maybe a little bias that I didn't think it was a great game.
No, I don't think it was a great game, but in terms of the rivalry in the East, it's a pretty big game to come up this early in the season. So
yeah. Good on the NBA schedule staffers to put that in early.
The NBA schedulistas.
Schedulistas. I would say that I'm kind of turned off by what Toronto is doing. It's the same thing as they've been doing as the years past. They're not changing it up at all. It's just DeRozan shooting 34 times, Lowry shooting 5 for 25, and potentially a Jonas or someone other gets like 10, 15 points.
That's interesting coming from somebody riding so hard for the Clips. Haven't they ran this team back for the past decade?
Yeah, you're right. so, whatever, I'm contradictory as fuck, but I'm just like, at least they have a floor general, and they have an offense that's not ISO.
No, that's fair. I mean, you know, it's not apples to apples comparison. It's just, you know, they do need more pieces. They need to make some moves. But in a conference like the East, where everyone's playing second fiddle to Cleveland, running it back is going to get them very close to that second seed again. And, you know, maybe they're one or two injuries away from, you know, keeping their team together and moving on. That's the Clippers' philosophy, right? They are a Golden State implosion and a San Antonio injury away from being the tops in the West.
Yeah, you're right. Huh. And love. And
we're
love.
Keeping that. That's the best. That's the best sound bite that you have, man. Huh.
Man, well, while I'm flicking you off, I'm going to say...
But you got to double flick me off.
Yo, I was about to say...
If you're going to participate in today's NBA...
Yo, we don't toss you for the double fingers around here. We encourage it.
You just got to keep talking. You just got to keep talking.
Well, I lost my train of thought.
That's all good. Houston, super volatile. We know they're going to be up and down. They're going to play no D. Harden's going to fill up the stat sheet. That's what we saw week one. You know, it's an entertaining ball. They even got the Lakers, you know, to score a ton of points and got the Lakers to play well enough to beat them. So Houston is one of those teams where you're going to want to watch them play a team if you want to see what that other team's offensive potential is.
Right.
I can't wait till they play Minnesota. I just want to see Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins just, you know, dunking on hoes.
Yeah.
Dunking on people.
Yeah, they're... Where do I put Houston on the periodic table?
Next to the unstable
gases. So.
Thank you. Next to some Xeon, perhaps. That's incredible.
That's so good.
That matchup, though, that Houston-Dallas matchup, like, that's really confusing to pick. And, like, even after the results from this game, I still, like, that could go either way. In subsequent games, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable as a gambler, like how those teams match up. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun. It's a pick 'em. It's a toss up. Yeah. You know, we got Hondo got some words for that later on in the program.
I didn't watch this game, but you guys watched OKC Phoenix last night?
I did.
Okay.
I just caught overtime, yeah. And I got to say, the first 3.5 minutes of overtime were some of the most boring overtime basketball I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was impressive that they could make it that unwatchable. Yeah. I mean, Westbrook came down and you know, turned the ball over a bunch of times and just was a little bit out of control, as Westbrook is, you know, wont to do. But towards the end there, you know, they were doing some buckets back and forth, and Westbrook came up with that layup from the no D set by Phoenix. That's a really impressive play call to make as the Phoenix coach. We're going to go with the no D on defense.
Earl Watson.
I mean, it's incredible.
From the top of the key.
That's right.
Just let him go. Make him miss by just blowing at him.
That was the psychological warfare. That's what that was.
I want to say that my take from that game is I don't think OKC is as strong as I thought, and I never thought they were that strong to begin with. But if they're struggling this early in the season with this level of energy from Oladipo, Westbrook, everyone, to beat Phoenix, which is probably the worst team in basketball this season, and I'm saying that like knowing that there's a...
Respect how bad the Nets are, please.
Yeah, knowing how bad the Nets are. The Nets are going to win games because they have Brooke Lopez and...
Brook Lopez had like Lynn. 7 points one game. Like, come on, man.
We'll talk about this later, but when Phoenix trades Devin Booker, they'll definitely be the worst team in basketball.
They'll be drinking the water. They'll be drinking the water. So what I wanted to say, though, is like Phoenix screwed themselves over so hard. They had Jeff Hornacek at coach, but then they had Goran Dragic at a max deal. They have Eric Bledsoe as a max deal, and they have Brendan Knight from Kentucky is like another high costed player. And what are they doing? Because they have to actually completely rebuild with Devin Booker and these young guys that they just got in. I don't see them being tradable, like those two other point guards. And they have 3-4 point guards on their roster.
Yeah,
well, they all need their minutes because they're all like valuable players. And it's just like, that's why I feel like they're going to be so bad this year, which will probably be really good for them because the draft looks straight up deep
stacked.
As hell.
Stacked. No, agreed. You know, Phoenix is going to be bottom feeder again, and they don't have a clear vision from management, right? Like, they don't have the people in place in the organization to take advantage of this, you know, the opportunities they're going to have from being so bad. So, your point to OKC, I think, is perfect, right? Oh, getting pushed by Phoenix and Philadelphia in week one.
It's
and that's the thing. I said they wouldn't make the playoffs this year, and I think you're really seeing now the stabilizing force of Kevin Durant on the OKC team. Not even, you know, I think he never reached his potential in OKC in terms of what he was capable of doing. But in the times when they would be erratic because Westbrook is, you know just style. A little crazy, you always had KD in the background. Okay, feed it to Durant. He's going to shoot his fadeaway. He's going to hit it. Yeah. Boom. That ends the run.
They don't have anyone on that team anymore that can do that.
No, yeah, they don't have a stabilizing force. They got Westbrook, and they're going to live and die by Westbrook's decisions, which is fine, but that, you know, that is what it is. It's going to be erratic.
And I said that in our preseason special about OKC. Like, Victor Oladipo is the exact same player as Russell Westbrook, only, like, completely a percentage pile of it, you know? So, like, you're duplicating what Westbrook brings with Oladipo. They don't have they don't do anything differently. I'm really confused now.
They're gonna be trouble. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it's a story to pay attention to.
Acubind is what they need. Acubind is a meat stabilizer, but they need the professional stabilizer.
That's what you were doing over there, Googling.
Don't look behind the scenes in OKC because you're not gonna like to see how the sausage is made.
Bovine University.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, we're gonna break down some big notable stats for this week. Absolutely incredible first week in terms of, like, the historic performances.
People brought it.
Boogie drops 37 in the first game. Miles Turner dropped 30. Embiid, in his first game, drops 20. Anthony Davis has a stat line that just, like, will stick with you.
Yeah.
Jump man.
50, 16, 5, 4, and 7.
7 steals.
Like, what? Absolutely mind-boggling. 40 points. This is DeRozan. DeRozan dropped 40 versus Detroit, which he still dropped 40. Westbrook was showing his flair early on. So he dropped. How much was this? Was
50.
It? He dropped 50.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was only 40, but he actually dropped
50. 50. It was like 51.
Wow.
With the triple double.
With the triple double.
KD is dropping 17 boards in that win over New Orleans. That's huge. I don't know this. TJ Warren is Phoenix?
Yeah.
Dropped 30?
Yeah.
Wow. That's just kind of shocking. But so Anthony Davis dropped 50. Didn't he also drop? He dropped 47.
Or something like that, yeah, in OKC.
In OKC. Or, like his average. OKC. His average
is 47.5.
Yeah, 47.5. So just in terms of other kind of stats as of today, Dwight Howard's rebounds per game is at 19. Harden is leading in assists at 12.5 assists per game. Kawhi is averaging 5 steals per game. Like, what is happening? The NBA hitting our, like, roids era or what? Like, this is crazy.
I mean, you know, small sample size, but it's pretty fun to look at week one.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, like, with Anthony Davis, that's the first NBA player since Michael Jordan in 89 to score 50 points in a season opener.
Okay.
And since 1962, and that would be Wilt Chamberlain, 1962, he has scored the most points in the first two games of a season. Yeah.
I'm getting my Anthony Davis jersey dry cleaned at the dry cleaner
this week. And with Westbrook.
I'm just going to switch between those two. That's it. That's all I'm going to
do. He joined that 50-point trip dub club.
Yeah.
And the only other person is Kareem since 1975.
It's hard to get into that trip dub club.
I mean, I go to Wendy's and I'm like, trip dub, please.
All right. So those were some awesome stats. I want to talk a little bit about some terrible moments in the first couple of days. The Nets starters are just horrendous. I mean, we knew this coming along, but, like, I think there were, like, 2 players above, like, 15 points. And they also, I think Lopez had, like, 7 the one night. I'm like, they are not, they're going to struggle to win, like, several games. This goes back to, like, our Philly bet from a few years ago, MTG, in which we're like, I just don't know what's going to happen. Even though they've ended up winning, I'm just like, so skeptical of, like, the number of total wins that they'll actually accrue.
Even though I wasn't part of that conversation, I bet you I would be like, prying my hair out, being like, when could they win next?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? You saw them beat Indiana in week one. So, like, they're just going to be all over the place. And unfortunately, it's hard not to win at least 15 games.
Mason Plumlee only had a few minutes, but he did. This is one of my favorite stat lines now of starters with 0 points. So I will continue to pick that out, and you will be highlighted and showcased on Twitter for your inabilities.
Congrats, so. Mason.
I think it was the the Pelicans bench? There was some crazy situation in which the Pelicans only started 3 additional bench players in one of these first games. Like, there were suspensions and did not plays and everything like that, but they only had 3 other guys. Like, just mind-boggling. And just I knew they were inept, but I'm like, they're inept and not using them? So.
And they're not using. Well, at least they're not using, right?
Yeah. an abysmal performance from the Magic in their game versus Detroit. Magic shot 34% from the field. Absolutely terrible. I think Philly today is going to rival that, though.
Probably.
Yep. All right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the surprises. Maybe some of the other surprises. We talked about some of the games. Was there anything that kind of continued to jump out at you from this last week? Well, not even a whole week.
I mean, I think the only thing that I really stuck out with me was the fact that Chicago knew they had a problem with their trio of guards, and they're trying to, at least for a couple games here, really remedying it.
Sure.
And they're shooting from 3, and they're making their threes. Like, Jimmy Butler and Wade were both, like, 4 for 6 from 3 or something like that. And, like, he made 7 all year last year in Miami.
Wow.
7 threes all year last year, and all he made year 4 in one game.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, okay.
Complete turnaround.
Yeah, I just love to see, I don't know so much surprise, but I really love to see the Lake Show, see Luke Walton come in there and take that roster and have him win a game against Houston and, you know, just see the young dudes thriving instead of being under the Kobe,
the guys,
Byron Scott, you know.
Yeah.
Dual 1-2.
That's okay. I mean, yeah, just that was like a weird like haze over the season last year for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they just couldn't really play because it was about the Kobe show. So
sure. And then, man, you gotta say that the Brooklyn winning over the Pacers was an absolute surprise.
It was a big surprise,
and I think, you know, we've already talked about that. But interesting. That kind of wraps up surprises for the week.
We are back. Hey, what's good, fellas?
What's what an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
I'm doing Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second candidate
is Grant Fitzgerald. I'm just saying.
And that goes like right in here. Will crying LeBron replace crying Jordan in the memosphere this season?
All right. We are back. We are back with the three-man weave.
I'm reloaded.
Hondo here with Guy and MTG. We're continuing to break it down. Oh, man. Week one. We have so much to talk about. Who's going to kick this one off?
Right here. You know what I'm saying? Throw me the rock. We're out here in the gym Saturday morning. Just so hyped about the NBA week one that, you know, we had to get on the court. We had to run around a little bit.
Yeah.
Put it up. So, simple. Week one, we don't need to get too complicated. Bring your best hot takes. Try and out hot take the next man.
Oh, wonderful.
Let's go. I'm gonna kick it off right here. Golden State, crisis mode, playing San Antonio. They need big fixes to big problems.
Big fixes.
Solution? Yao Ming coming out of retirement. Gonna play the center spot. Golden State Warriors. Now you're gonna have the big 5. He's not gonna have to run up and down the court. He's just gonna be a DH.
He can play 4 and 5.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna stay back, grab some rebounds.
Wow,
it's gonna happen this season.
Just watch. A bold face.
I've been hearing rumors. My sources in Shanghai have let me know that Yao Ming has been doing extra bicep curls the last 3 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Well, that's hard to outtake that or how.
Oh no, just continue on. Bring the heat, man.
Just what you got?
I watched the process debut.
Okay.
Joel Embiid. They have a lot of like young what the hell is on that team? Yeah. But then they have Joel Embiid. It's amazing to say that I think he is the next great big in the NBA. He's the next. He's going to be a top five player.
Whoa.
And he's already like making me think of Hakeem Olajuwon, like flashbacks, and just making him see, like, you know, remember when Dwight Howard entered the league and he was like, he's taken over the league for just a couple, even though he had no offensive game. But Joel Embiid has offense, defense, he has the whole package, he has the Instagram, he has a snap. He's the, you know, the.
Was it Hakeem in the really bad jerseys, though? Like, man, I'm Rockets saying, had some terrible.
Here's what I'm
remove,
from,
remove the bad jerseys and focus on the positive, which is the process.
Wow.
Here's what I'm hearing right now.
I think he's a top five player.
You said
already.
You said that's not, you know, that's what I was getting to. What I actually heard you say was that Joel Embiid is better than Anthony Davis. That's what I heard you just say.
Unbelievable.
Because you said the next great big man, and he's a top five player. You can't have both of them in the top five.
And that goes into my hot take. I'm going to go here. Anthony Davis makes it into the. To the Marvel cast as a fucking superhero if he continues to score 47.5 points per game.
The next Guardian of the Galaxy movie.
Yes, he's in.
He can only go up from there too, right? He can only score more than 47.
Yeah, he could go intergalactic. That's where he can go.
I mean, you don't even need CGI on the eyebrows.
Oh my god,
you're right.
Oh man.
Dude.
Sponsored by NASA.
This
soon,
is incredible.
Man.
We're off to a great start. And you know, I'm gonna go a little bit left right here.
Okay.
Prediction. It's gonna be cold up here in Seattle during the winter. You know, it's gonna be a little bit rainy. I predict Seattle Freedom Fighter lets loose thousands of zoo animals in the new Sacramento arena, forcing a shutdown, and the team has to move to Seattle. Again, I said Freedom Fighter. I did not say terrorist. We're not gonna use the T word on this podcast.
No.
Freedom Fighter. He's doing his duty
to
as
bring
a Cascadian.
Ball back. Bring ball back.
You damn
bring
right.
ball back. Excellent.
Who's up next?
What's your next hot take, Guy?
My next hot take is the Brooklyn Nets are going to be without an owner at the end of the season.
Whoa.
Wow.
They're just going to be ownerless.
Are you saying that?
And adopted by the NBA.
Did I just hear you say that Putin is going to kill off Prokhorov?
Because he's coming for that rings, bitch.
Whoa. It wasn't enough.
Unbelievable. My hot take is that the Brooklyn Nets actually, as a publicity stunt, allow for a junior varsity player to join the starting five.
And no one will be able to tell the difference.
No, absolutely not. Still averaging more points than Brooke Lopez.
Bonus hot take. Putin throws Prokhorov in prison and replaces him with Bashar al-Assad as the owner of the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow. Anything involving Putin and basketball, I don't know. I mean, he was just... It feels like he shouldn't own... If Putin owned a team, though, he should own the Grizzlies, because I've like seen photos of him like wearing an entire grizzly bear like cape on him. So
that's true.
He would just take the mascot and be like, "I'm done with you."
Well, I mean, and
you're my
and
rug.
He
now.
Would just shoot a bear and bring it in before the game just to get
by
to
that
get
logic.
Get the crowd amped up. Here's what a bear looks like dead,
and just like shocked, horrified small children in the arena.
Oh yeah.
By that logic, he's going to take over your Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh my god.
We're talking about the most Russian of basketball teams.
Well, we did have two Russians at one point.
Oh wow!
But you also need some drinks. Woo. All right, here we go. I got it. I mean, look, this is perfect. I believe this year Phoenix will trade one Devin Booker to the Minnesota Timberwolves for water rights in 2019 and old growth forest considerations in 2032. I mean, it's going to take a little while for those considerations to mature, but with the way global warming's going and the water situation down there, that's a pretty great trade for the city of Phoenix.
Mm. What an excellent take.
Oh, for the full city of Phoenix, not just for the 14 other players.
Oh, no. This is, you know, that's what I'm saying. They're doing it for the city.
Oh,
you know, they're
God.
You know, the NBA
cares.
They're
doing it for the land.
Wow.
The desert.
So, here's my...
NBA cares.
here's my next hot take. Here's my next hot take. So, I watched Popovich open up a little bit. So... I'm saying he opened up enough by offering one more sentence that someone's going to offer him a talk show by the end of this season.
Interesting.
Pop off with Popovich. It's his own podcast.
It just like There's like really concise sentences, and it lasts probably a minute, maybe a minute and a half.
He with just, 29 minutes of
he publishes once monthly.
Oh, okay.
I love it. I love it.
All right, here's a hot take. One of James Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook is going to just shave their style. So brow will either not be brow.
Wow.
Harden will be rookie Harden.
Rookie Harden.
Rookie Harden had no beard.
No, I'm just trying to digest this. So.
Well, it's hard to digest if you see him without a beard.
Harden to digest.
Oh, God.
LeBron will finally come home to me and just shave it all off.
Whew. Whoa.
A Russell Westbrook. I cannot say that out loud. Russell Westbrook.
I'll have his jersey soon.
We'll have a normal suit.
Whoa!
One of those will happen.
No, oh man!
Oh my God! That's fresh off the presses. That feels hot in my hand. Just holding that take. That's what I'm saying. All right, here we go. I got you. Political situation in this country is a mess. You know who's going to be our savior? When Andrew Wiggins is going to become the spokesman and potentially the presidential candidate for a revived Whig Party.
Wig party.
Wow.
Andrew Wiggins, and I support this Whig party.
Unbelievable. His vice president is Carmelo.
Whoa.
I think Carmelo's more like Chamber of Commerce.
Turned. Oh, gee, of course.
You know what I'm saying? I think vice president, somebody outlandish, but he's not going to actually have any power.
It's J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, that's perfect. That's right. He's got the last name of somebody who sounds like a founding father.
He's the only vice president to be shirtless for his 4 years in office.
For 4 years for the inauguration. Skirt, skirt.
All right, we got shoes, you know, sponsored by Nike and whatever. We have socks, dance socks. We got clocks, the T-Sock clocks. We got jerseys with ads now coming, apparently. We got Gatorade in our post-game, pre-game, everything. We got State Farm. We got all these insurance companies. What's the next big thing that we're going to branch out into?
I have no idea.
Sandwiches.
Whoa.
Just fucking sandwiches.
Sandwiches is your bold face call.
Bold.
Branded sandwiches?
I just made it up.
Brandwiches?
Brandwiches?
You know why?
Why is that? Because you're hungry?
No. Well,
Saturday morning, and you just ran up and down the court for the
first half
of the series.
I just found out, because I haven't collected basketball cards in forever.
Same.
I used to collect all of them. I used to have this mad collection of everything.
And still
I
got them.
I had, like, you know, it was Topps, and it was all these other brands. Now the only brand that's out there is Panini. So it just made me think, like, Panini on basketball cards, just make the whole sandwich.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and just put Kevin Durant's face on it.
Just or put his leg tattoo on it. Or his brow.
You know how they can, like, etch in your, like, latte? They can etch
latte,
like, a
art
face.
Yeah.
Latte art, of course. I just found out about this, too. But you can just do it with your Panini grill.
That's right. Yeah, I love that idea. I just want to know. Yeah. No. I don't want to know anything about it. I'm sold. I don't even eat sandwiches, and I'm going to eat brandwiches.
Wow.
Sponsored by the first spokesman for Brandwiches, Elton Brand.
Wow. Hot takes.
He needs a life
there
after basketball. He just retired, too. Hey. He's like, let's start up our own Panini.
Hot take stack there. Come and get them. Come and get them. Oh, my God.
Hot take double stack. Extra bacon.
Unbelievable. Okay. Here's my next hot take. In the next CBA, players finally wise up to the devastating impact of the Kardashians on their careers and actually disallow them from the franchise.
Did I just hear a Kardashian clause?
A Kardashian clause of the next 10-year CBA.
You got the Rose Rule. You got the Bird Law. Yeah, Bird rights. All the things. You got the Kardashian clause. Because if you let the Kardashians get their claws into you, that clause will kick in and you'll lose money.
Or life, yeah.
Well, I didn't know the NBA went into capital punishment, but Adam Silver is a powerful man.
Yes.
All right, closing hot takes. One last go around here. All right, bring the heat.
Ben Simmons will pull a Ricky Williams and choose to smoke weed in Australia instead of ever playing a game in the NBA.
Interesting.
Oh, devastating. Devastating.
I mean, again, the process, you know, Embiid is the process. What do you need a Ben Simmons for?
Wow.
I mean, y'all are dropping the ball right now. We're running up and down the court. I mean, we're not supposed to dribble. And
no,
I'm, just,
I'm not. I'm not. I'm not trying. I'm just trying dribbling to right take now. This in.
Adjust it.
Oh my god.
Too hot.
So if you okay.
Oh. Who's gonna be the pistachio brand spokesman in the NBA this year?
Moving from Stephen Colbert to
the pistachio brand spokesman. Oh, damn it! You threw me off on that entirely.
All right. Well, I'll go. I'll
okay.
Go.
All right. Go.
Every year at the NBA All-Star Game, they got the All-Star Game, the celebrity game.
Yes.
Where, you know, where Kevin, rappers where and...
Kevin Hart just Kevin displays Hart. His dominance.
We're getting Chance the Rapper in there.
Woo!
He's already started his, you know, campaign to get in there by showing up at the Portland game.
Here's what I got. Next hot take. By the time the next celebrity game comes around, Obama will be out of office. Obama in the celebrity game.
Wow. Oh. Wow.
Let's have that happen.
That's absolutely
Team
incredible.
Chicago in the celebrity All-Star game. Mm-hmm.
To make the three-point challenge less confusing this season, they're only going to allow the Warriors to participate in it.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
The requirement, though, is they have to have a goatee.
Three-point goatee. Hey, that was beautiful. Ran up and down the court, laid it up. Everyone finished strong. Three, man, we out.
Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. Not novelty. Newness on the internet is all about that novelty.
It's Seattle Connection.
The Vancast Networks.
What? Oh, man. Rambling gambler here. Rambling gambler. I am amped up, and I tell you why. Betting recap for the last couple games is up. So we started on Tuesday. Both Guy and I started, and we've started to pick games every single day. So there have been 25 games as of this airing.
Right.
I am worse than a coin flip right now. I am at 48%. I've only selected, 5, 7, 12. 12 out of the 25 games. You, for a total of 48%. You, on the other hand, somehow just like got Wednesday correct, which I could not seem to do, and you picked 7 out of 10 games. Like, we're going to get some money together, man. We're going to get some money together. 7 out of 10 is a great pick'em. And we were picking straight up. We weren't picking all the lines.
Right.
So we're just doing straight up. But, so the listeners know, we are picking all 1,230 games this season. So if you look at at my Twitter account, every single morning I will have my picks up for the week.
What's your handle? Give it to the people.
At How3, HOWTHREE.
Boom.
And we'll put some of our my finer picks up on the Ride in the Pine Twitter as well. Man, but you came in at 68%. You are 20% better at picking than I am this
week. I'm just 20% everything more than you.
Woo! I don't know how to digest that in a really short time, but... We'll kind of see what. So what? How many did you end up picking? You ended up picking 16, 17?
17
out of 25?
Well, it'd be 24 games, I think. Or 25.
No,
but yeah, 17.
No, don't. Correcting the 25. I've double counted this already.
17.
I've double counted this already. So, okay. We're at 25. We're at 25. I want to talk a little bit about the hardest games to pick this week because. Oh, yeah. This was not easy. This was not easy, as my 12 will suggest. Golden State should not lose that first game. Like, everything that the media... I'm a victim of the media. So I'm an absolute victim of the media. I could not predict that. Like, there was nothing in my statistical brain that said to go against Golden State in that first game. Also, I wasn't present for the Utah selection, like Utah over Portland.
You even had an advocate right here.
I know.
In your ear.
Yeah, I just needed... God, what a terrible decision.
You just needed to be wrong once to just...
What a terrible decision.
Amp you up.
in terms of other difficult picks for the week, Memphis over the Wolves. Come on, man. So charged for the Wolves. Absolutely charged up for the Wolves. And, like, got to put a little hometown bias in there. Come on. They have to beat freaking Memphis. Are we kidding ourselves? Like,
Mike Conley showing why he's the highest paid player. The highest paid player in the NBA.
$156 million Bullshit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. LA over the Rockets is absolutely just terrible. Like, I cannot predict this in any alternate universe that I enter.
Yeah.
It's just on paper.
And you enter a lot of universes.
10, 12, you know, yes. Just continue traveling. I watched a lot of Interstellar recently, so that's where I'm at.
But it was probably the weirdest outcome, for sure.
But this is the damn early games, too. It's difficult to pick games. It's really difficult to pick games without any sort of indication. And preseason gives you no fucking indication, really. So, Nets over Pacers. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this episode, but damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it. Come on, Pacers. What are you, like my sixth pick in the East? You can't drop to the worst team in the East.
They're my second pick in the East.
Oh, unbelievable. And then Rockets over Dallas. This is that damn coin flip scenario. So I'm gonna struggle with that matchup all season long.
Sure.
We'll continue the picks. Continue the picks this morning for Saturday. Drop my other picks, and then I'll put up our aggregate probably on at Vencast Studios of our picks throughout the season.
So good.
All right, we're going to be right back with the week ahead.
Boo.
Okay, so we're going to get into a great feature here, and this is our week ahead. So we are going to call right now the Ride in the Pine Game of the Week. Ooh. This is the must-see game for next week, and I think we have an absolute gem coming up next Thursday. It's going to be one of the TNT games. This is the Thunder are playing the Warriors. So the rematch from last year's Western Conference Finals is coming back. This should be a fun one to watch.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Who commits the hard foul on Durant from OKC? Who just like decks him
Adams,
one time?
Adams.
You think so?
I think it's a new guy.
I was going to say, I think they're going to bring somebody off the bench for that one. Not even a new guy. I think it's going to be a little bit. I think it's going to be a guy who was there when KD was there.
Okay, so it's Cantor.
A no name.
It's Cantor. Oh. Is Cantor a no name?
I don't know.
No.
I just Cantor's think it'll be somebody like Roberson or somebody like that.
Ooh.
Or like Mitch McGarry. You know what I'm saying? Like
Mitch McGarry.
Some dude, that's what I'm saying.
Roberson would be crazy.
Here's the thing, like Adams is just too important for that game. Yeah. Like he might do some hard fouls, but I'm talking about one that'll get a dude ejected. I'm talking about like you lay KD out.
You're calling a hard ejection on McGarry. I want to see that.
That's what's up.
Unbelievable. Great call. Great.
I mean, what I'm asking is who's going to be the Charles Oakley of the
OKC. I don't know. And we'll have to let that one play out. Hey, there's a couple of other good games that we're going to definitely be watching. Thunder are playing the Clippers next week. Warriors against Portland should be a fun one. Celts and Cavs actually played the same day as Thunder versus Warriors.
Cool.
It's actually the early game that night. And Knicks versus Bulls.
This is one of our feature games of the season.
Yeah,
you called this game out.
Yeah, I called this game out because it's interesting and it's just so much movement between those teams that this should be a very heated game.
Yeah.
Very, very heated game. Also, let me not leave this episode without making sure to remind you a public service announcement of games to avoid next week. Kings play Magic in a real sleeper, and Nets play Bucks in potentially one of the worst matchups of the season.
Yo, the Kings' old arena was called the Sleep Train Arena. That would be hysterical. Now it's called like something Elements One or something. But
So, all right. So that wraps up Riding the Pine for 10/29 in our first week back with the NBA. I'm Hondo here with Gee with MTG. Hey, thanks for listening. We're going to be back to you with week two results and our predictions for week three.
I'm going to leave you guys with a quote from Alvin Gentry, head coach of the Pelicans. He said that putting Lance into the game scares both coaches.
We out.
We'll be right back.
Podcast Studio Productions.